wave of water that came through the village, killing 35 people. Weather manipulation. It's been going on that long. They have strontium, they have barium. It's acidifying water, it's acidifying the land. The ability to generate precipitation, fog, storms on Earth, to modify space weather, and the production of artificial weather, all are part of an integrated set of military technology.
They're spraying chemicals in nanoparticle form. The government is using HARP to be starting a storm. The water shortage is a topic they're complaining about, but they don't even want to stop it. They're creating the drought. Planes now make clouds when they spray out shit. You can see it because it happens every day now, kid. You can read the patents and see what they say about this. They make towns sick. It ain't safe to stay around this.
Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists. 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 Terrorists.
Good afternoon, everybody. Earlier today, I was briefed by my Homeland Security team on the events in Boston.
I was walking down Hazel Street and me, and then they called SWAT in, and then SWAT came and picked me up by a shield, and they threw me in the back of a car and then dropped me off in the middle of Newton.
A remarkable piece of video, and I should point out that it was provided to ABC News for free.
Speak the truth about terror. Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th. Malicious lies that attempt to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty. To inflame ethnic hatred is to advance the cause of terror. The war against terror must not serve as an excuse to persecute ethnic and religious minorities in any country.
So what did I think? I figured, fuck it, while I'm at it, why not just shoot my butt? Take his job, give it to a sworn enemy, hike up gas prices, bomb a village, club a baby seal, hit the hash pipe, and join the National Guard. I could be elected president.
The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish.
You are now listening to The Last American Vagabond with your hosts Ryan Christian and DJ Anon. Join in the conversation by tweeting at Third Eye Radio or at TLA Vagabond or calling in at 916-633-1393. Follow the change, be the change with your hosts Ryan and DJ Anon.
Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. It's Margaret Mead. Let's say for conversation's sake that the political system in this country is actually salvageable, that it could be resuscitated and revitalized with the right president, the right legislature, the right motivation and pressure applied by the activist elite, those with a passion for change and a desire to see this nation revived. If that was the case, if that was indeed possible, what would it take to align this country once again with its original ideals of liberty, honor, and true freedom? Freedom of choice. Freedom to do what you will with your own body and to make that choice for your children, in both the medical field and at home. What would be the first step back in the direction of the republic? The one resounding answer that has never been more apparent than in today's American political circus is that of money in politics. What began as a public service has now become one of the most profitable positions of power in the world, an American politician. In addition to their direct salaries, which were added in 1815 and initiated the politics for higher climate, politicians get direct cash infusions by special interest groups that represent the very definition of a conflict of interest. These lobbyists, as they're called, are representatives of big business with little concern for anything other than their company's bottom line. These highly paid special interest operatives have specific directives to influence policy and directly benefit their employers. These lobbyists are almost always ex-government employees given the positions as gratitude for past cooperation on legislation. With a web of massively intertangled strings attached, They personally give the politicians what are deceptively called campaign contributions in order to conceal their true nature, a bribe. On the surface level, the level seen by the average citizen, these donations, as they're called, are just that, donations. Yet with even the slightest research, it becomes apparent that the inner circle of politicians and the influential 1% collude to exchange jobs, perks, and favors for future personal benefit, while the quality of life and the well-being of the average American is far down on the list of objectives, if listed at all. When given the opportunity to cast aside one's morals for and ideals for a little personal prosperity, many would not think twice, and that is just human nature. The moment a profit motive was introduced, the moment we allowed special interests the right to directly fund campaigns, was the moment in which the last grasping tendril of democracy was scraped from the edge of the rising plutocracy. Welcome to The Last American Vagabond. Today we are discussing money and politics. Now before we jump in, I'd like to offer my condolences to the those affected by the tragedy in Orlando in Florida, and kind of begin with the discussion of this event. It really comes at a time when Americans were rapidly, exponentially becoming aware of a lot of misconduct within the government, whether that's voter fraud, the Clinton indictment, environmental issues, the Bilderberg attention, TSA failings, just kind of a general awakening happening within the populace. And it's important to think about that fact. It's also important to never forget that ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or any of these Islamic extremist ideas were created and funded by the United States government and its allies. And that's not disputed. Despite what anybody wants to think or believe, that's not disputed. So regardless of the motives behind this terrible attack, there's a verifiable connection that cannot be overlooked, right? But it typically is. And I mean, whether this was planned prior to it happening or was just some spontaneous attack by one person, nonetheless, this entire event will be used to further agendas. That has to be recognized. Regardless of where this goes, it's going to be used to further the elite agenda. We are now going to see a massive push for tightened security on American soil, not border security, but internal surveillance. And really, that's now taking place. Now it's just going to be considered justified.
As well as gun control.
Exactly. Just going to say gun control is what we're already really seeing now. We're seeing gun control, you know, legislation issues popping up all over the place now. And some of that might be stemming from a place of genuine concern. But at the end of the day, we're simply talking about removing rights and freedoms for security. And it's just that, you know, tragic concept. We cannot relinquish our freedom and our rights to make ourselves feel more secure, especially against an enemy and an idea that many believe simply doesn't exist. Mm. This whole idea is really, I think it's such an important topic before we dive into the main topic of the episode today. It's a topic for people to really think about and dissect. We're not trying to claim one way or the other at this point. Like we always say on this show, just simply open your eyes to the fact that there's lies being told. And we're not trying to say why that's happening just yet. I have my opinions, but we cannot deny that there's inconsistencies within the story between mainstream media and the public. One right off the bat that comes out at every single time is simply the fact that, you know, the FBI was involved with this man, Martin, the supposed single lone gunman.
Martin.
Right? He, you know, FBI was involved with him. They interrogated him two different times, basically let him go. And not only that, I mean, there's connections with his father. His father was running for Afghan presidency. He's supposedly connected with the CIA.
Wow.
And this stuff goes, it's you know, one incident like this, sure. But you line it up on over the however many last incidences you feel are suspect, and there's just too many inconsistencies that line up with this stuff.
That sounds like pretty much every incident in the last 20 years,
exactly.
Honestly.
It really does.
How many times has, you know, there been a suspect in custody, they let him go, and then he ends up doing whatever he was going to do?
Right. Well, I think it was New York Times even put out an article. You know what? The one I'm thinking of, I just remembered, is actually RT. But New York Times put out an article similar to this, basically just saying that FBI is responsible or involved in almost 90% of terrorist attacks in this country. And the headline's shocking, but when you break down the information, they're simply showing that the FBI has this massive program where they kind of manipulate people into committing crimes and then arrest them, mm-hmm. and show, oh, look, we're stopping terrorism, you know? And sometimes they do, and a lot of times they don't. And there's been a lot of weird, I mean, just look this up. There's been a lot of inconsistencies in the past of FBI being involved with an attack like this, where many people think that they essentially set the attack up and planned to stop it, and either something went wrong or they really never planned to stop it at all or whatever the, you know, the background idea would be. But nonetheless, the FBI is involved in this stuff. They, I mean, this you see it right here. They were connected with this guy from the get-go. It's there's inconsistencies.
And that's their only claim to fame, is how many domestic terrorists they've actually stopped. Well, those are the ones that they have planned.
Exactly. I mean, and we put up a pretty good article just recently about this, but there was even a district court judge that literally said that, you know, only the FBI could make a terrorist out of this man. And it was the guy that got arrested for it, but it was a guy that he had protested every step of the way. I don't want to do this. He's on record going, I don't want anybody to get hurt. And they're pushing him. Oh, come on. You know, it's for your country, or whatever they're saying to him. You know, obviously not USA, but the country they're trying to manipulate him into, you know, whether he's of Muslim faith or whatever. But the idea is that the man did not want to do it. They pushed him until it happened. People died and he got in trouble. But it's obvious and documented that the FBI was involved with it and instigated the entire event. And the real question that people pose is, would it have happened, or would he have even committed a crime if the FBI would not have gotten involved in the first place?
Well, exactly. You know, that's a perfect example is from The Matrix. When Neo goes to see the Oracle, he's standing there and she says, now don't worry about the vase. And he's like, what vase? Turns and hits it. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And she said, don't worry about it. What's really going to bake your noodle is if, would you have broken it if I said anything?
All right. And no. It's a really great way to think about it, because the real question is, does it matter? You know what I mean? The vase got broken. Does it really matter whether it was going to happen, whoever did it? The point is that people died.
Yep.
And if the FBI was involved, even slightly, that's a really big deal. And it's just something that we seem to just kind of disregard. The next one for me, the whole story is hinging on the idea that you know, his father, again, the one that some people would link to the CIA, and it was, he was, you know, you can look up on YouTube, he's running for Afghan president, which doesn't really mean one thing or the other, but, you know, all these things together. But he essentially says that his son had seen two men kissing prior to this event, and that's what got him so upset, and that's what caused this to happen.
Wow.
You know, which is ridiculous in itself, but just as plausible as any other crazy reason people do these kind of things. But here's the kicker, that not only, you know, so he's basically saying that he's a homophobe and he's, you know, hates gay people, whatever. The idea is that he not only had he was using a gay dating app. Mm-hmm. He frequented the club Pulse. He was there all the time. And, you know, people went on record about how he was hitting on different people and that he was an active member of their community. So there's a hole in that story right there.
Yeah.
So you're kind of saying that he's somehow upset by two men kissing, and yet he's doing it himself and he's on these apps, and it's like, I mean, there's one or two options there. The story is a complete fabrication, or there's premeditation involved. And he was doing this on purpose to get involved in this, and that to me seems like an FBI scenario. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Very crazy. There's a lot of inconsistencies with the actual story coming from the mainstream media. There's a really great video done by TruthStream Media called The Fog of Breaking News, which is just ridiculous. The line actually comes directly from mainstream media where they're trying to cover their asses based on inconsistencies that we're already throwing on, you know?
Yeah.
And they're basically going, oh, well, it's due to the what they call the fog of breaking news, right? So much information's coming out that we just can't get the facts straight all the time.
That's bullshit.
Isn't that
they
ridiculous?
Just put it out before.
Now they're just coming
happens.
Straight out and saying that we just don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's like, don't worry, we don't always tell the truth. We're not sure what we're saying all the time, so don't take everything we say for, you know. It's like, come on, you're the mainstream media, for Christ's sake. You're supposed to be telling the truth all the time.
It's like when
supposed
we had that,
to be, you know?
Like when we had that 9/11 episode we did, and we talked about that chick that was from the BBC standing in front of World Trade Center 7. She's like, World Trade Center 7 went down, blah, 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 blah. And it was still standing right behind
her. Yeah, exactly. Which is just a big... There's no way to misunderstand that one.
Yeah,
that doesn't just happen. You know, it's like, oops, I misread the teleprompter, and I'm fortune teller.
You know, back in the day when J. Edgar Hoover got his good old FBI going, the Bureau of Investigation, they used to have these bills out that would say, like, you know, public enemy number one with Dillinger on the front of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think someone out there of artistic talent should create a... what do you call those things? A spoof on the FBI for like a new public enemy number one poster.
Okay. With their face on it?
Hell yeah. yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
We should make one ourselves. that's actually perfect because, you know, really if they're behind it all, they're the instigators really.
Yeah. I bet James at Humor Times would do it. I got to get a hold of him.
There you go. So the next one that I saw that really stood out to me was this idea that, you know, anyone that's really following this coverage so far, there's this guy that supposedly was holding the door shut. I don't know if you heard about that.
No.
So everyone supposedly is trying to run away. Not supposedly. Everyone's trying to run away from the club. Things are happening. They're trying to get away, so, you know, save their lives. And there's one man holding the one door closed. I mean, I shouldn't say that. There might have been another exit. I'm not sure. But this was the main exit. And he was holding this door shut. People are banging on the other side, going, open the door, we're trying to, you know, we're running for our lives. Mm-hmm. And he's literally from the other side of the door saying, no, 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 you have to stay in there.
Wow.
Multiple people have on record saying that he's, no, no, you need to stay. And then he goes on CNN talking about how, oh, well, I didn't know, I wasn't sure if it was, you know, if I was trying to save them from going out there because I didn't know where the gunman was. This totally, what, like, absurd story. Shit. There's no way. You don't do that. First of all, you're running for your life. You're not going to stop and hold the door. If you didn't know where the gunman was, you didn't know where this stuff was, you would just run.
And anybody knows the sound difference between a gunshot inside and outside.
Right. I mean, but even over that, though, the idea that you're yelling with people screaming, we're trying to run away, and there's you can hear them, and they're all pushing. Yeah. You know what's going on. But so he claims that he didn't understand, and, no, oh, I hope I didn't hurt anybody, even though he did. He directly was responsible for the death of many. Even you might even say 49 people. You know what, yeah, I mean? Like, he's holding this door shut and keeping everybody in there.
Is that the death count, 49?
It went down from 50 to 49 because they were supposedly counting the shooter as well. So now it's just 49.
Oh, so now the shooter doesn't count as a dead body anymore?
Well, that's... Yeah, no, really, it's that they're saying that the shooter killed 49. He didn't kill 50, he killed 49. Right?
Oh,
because he,
gotcha,
doesn't count himself. But so this guy that was then revealed, which is even crazier, as an actor. Which one of my friends made a great point on...
Oh, crisis actor.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Crisis actor.
But one of my friends made a great point, and it actually made me feel slightly sheepish because you're thinking about it. He's like, oh, an actor in a nightclub downtown at night going out at a gay nightclub? That doesn't seem, you know... And he's being sarcastic. Obviously, there's probably 100 actors in that club that,
yeah,
night. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, it's not that crazy that the one that gets stopped is an actor. However, every other one that's been, you know, talked to in the past of all these events, you know, San Bernardino, Paris, they're, yeah, all actors.
Yep.
They all get recognized. That's what's coincidence. It's not that one of them is this time. It's that all of them have been every time, and that's weird.
You know, up until I think it was 2011 or 2012, there was actually ads on Craigslist looking for crisis actors.
Well, no, see, the thing about that is, and this is how I think that they manipulate that, is there's actual websites and companies that hire or that, you know, basically not sell, but they have the commodity of crisis actors. They,
right,
have actors that they keep on staff that they sell out to people for whatever reason. And the idea is that they use them for, you know, FBI training and things like that.
Right.
But the simple idea is that you have an entire business that profits from creating people that fake crisis.
Yep.
So it's not that far-fetched to think that they would use them for other purposes, especially nefarious purposes.
Pimping is pimping is pimping.
And then you wonder if these people involved even are aware that they're involved in something that's fake, or if they're paid to not say anything or whatever. I mean, that's where I get a little wishy-washy on the concept of a false, mm-hmm, flag, is that if there's that many people that are faking, somebody's going to say something, in my opinion. That's what's going to, you know, probably, yeah, going to happen. But then
I
you
think
never
they
know.
Have no idea until it's after the fact.
Well, then they would look back and be like, oh, I was involved in that. That wasn't real. But obviously people, you know, we just talked about self-censorship very recently on the show, and it's,
mm-hmm,
people that are scared of the government today.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be that crazy to think that they'd all be quiet because they're afraid to speak out.
Well, okay, so here you go. Gay club, right? And the actor maybe doesn't want to be known that he's gay. So, hey, you do this part and we won't release little Hoover files we got on you.
Or, yeah, anything like that. I mean, just, you know, I honestly would just think that it's more than that. It's a deeper plot. Mm. You know what I mean? That I think the one thing that people always don't forget is, or not forget, but just kind of misunderstand about a false flag is that there's two different kinds, really. You know, you got the ones where, like a Gulf of Tonkin incident, which has been documented in our history of this country, where it never happened at all. The ship didn't get attacked. It didn't. Well, there's contradicting ideas on that. That either one attack happened, but the second one that supposedly was the bigger one didn't happen. The idea is that the government lied about an attack on a U.S. ship from a Vietnam,
right,
from Vietnam forces. So, and that's documented. That's been spoken about by government officials, right? So they basically fabricated it and lied about the attack to get U.S., you know, the populace behind the invasion of Vietnam.
Yep.
So that's one side. The other side would be where a 9/11 scenario where people died, where either, or like a Pearl Harbor, which is also documented, where we essentially allowed an attack either to happen that we saw coming or planned it completely ourselves. And so the idea is that you either have a fabricated event that never took place or one that did take place. The core idea behind them both is that the government's behind them, mm-hmm. and they're using it to manipulate the way people think.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the big difference there. And I honestly would say that this one seems like one where people probably died. I mean, there's a lot going on there. But I don't know. There was a lot of weird things you're seeing on I forget the channel that put up this video, but they were showing that during the actual event, like right after the club had happened, right the night of, people are walking back and forth, and they're literally showing people carrying victims back towards the club.
What?
Like one after the other. That's what was weird. And then they stand back, and he's like, "Where are the ambulances?" There's not a single ambulance anywhere in sight. And
so there was actual video footage or photography footage of injured people and dead people?
Well, I didn't see dead people personally, but they show people carrying the supposed injured ones. But the weird thing is
Sandy Hook?
Yeah, right. But exactly. But they're carrying them. And he used GPS mapping to show where these locations were behind them, and they're walking back towards the club. So it's like, so if this, and this is while the event was supposedly still happening. So he's posing the question, why would they be walking back towards the club that has the, you know, where there's still an active shooter?
Yeah.
And then the idea is that it's not just one, it's one and then another, and there's like people lining up to walk them back towards the club.
Huh.
And it's like, that's either just complete negligence. Like if you're the person posing this entire fake event, you're just a complete idiot. I mean, how do you not think about that? You know, but I mean, who knows? These are the kind of consistencies that we're throwing out there, and we're not this one. Any one of these things doesn't claim that it was a false flag or wasn't a false flag, but simply that there's things that we're being lied about or being lied to about. And that's that. How can you misconstrue that? Why would they be carrying them the wrong way? Why would there be no ambulances out there? Why would all these things be happening? That's the question we pose to you. You know, and what we want is like very similar to like James Corbett is open source investigation. You know what I mean? You know, contact us. Let us know what you find. We have a lot of people who are actively sending us information from Orlando, and that's what we want. And even if that you know ends up definitively proving that it was an actual attack, I want the truth, and that's what we'll publish. You know, if I find out that it was actually true, that'll be all over the Last American Vagabond.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it comes down to, is it's about truth. You know. I don't know, but this stuff just it's really something that is important to look into, and that's what I stress for everyone out there listening, is that, you know, don't immediately buy the mainstream narrative. You know, whether this was an actual attack or not, they will always try to manipulate you with an event, whether real or fabricated, to execute their agenda.
Yeah.
And that's been proven, documented over history. That's everything they're trying to do, is aimed towards their agenda.
I remember it wasn't that long ago when if there was a mass shooting or something, you know, it would be televised with the viewer discretion advised type of warning, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that anymore today, true or not.
Yep.
False flag or not.
That's a great point. I mean, you know, many were saying back however many years ago that was kind of the idea behind the violence and the TV and the things they were putting out there, is to desensitize people, mm-hmm. to make you essentially more open to the idea of active violence and being out there as a soldier or whatever that would be.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I got a fun fact for you.
Shoot.
The TSA, every year, gets to claim over $500,000 from the change you leave at the airport. And those little, you know, metal detector bins that you place all your stuff before you walk through.
That's funny.
$500,000.
I have to say, I just realized that was in poor taste when I said shoot. Wasn't intentional, I promise. That's interesting, though, the idea behind that. I find it hard to believe that would be intentional, but it's just one more perk of their, you know, over-heightened security, and it doesn't accomplish anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, the TSA is a whole show. That's just overwhelming how inept that group is. Intentionally, in my opinion. It's crazy. You know, that's a great thing about the topic we're getting into today, really, is that, you know, everything we love to talk about conspiracy theories on this show. That's kind of what we, you know, that's our bread and butter. But the great thing about this is that it's something that's legitimate. You know, not suggest that everything isn't legitimate, but they're questioned, right? People question whether they are.
Yeah.
This is something, the topic today, money and politics, lobbyists, and something that has been a cornerstone of the political talking points in this election.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is something that's very real and that's very, very important to just about everything. I mean, you know, a big name, you know, I've talked about Ken O'Keefe in the past. In his opinion, this is the most important topic of today.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can make your own mind about that. I feel it's definitely one of the most important, but we always like to talk about kind of disconnecting from the system. And in that regard, caring about money and politics wouldn't matter. if you simply disconnect from the system. But if we are actively trying to change the system from within, this would be the first step.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Sanders and Trump, both of them, both the supposed anti-establishment candidates, are, you know, both speaking out about ending money in politics and lobbyists, which is kind of a joke for Trump to say that because he's actively participated in that on the other side, funding politics from the get-go, you know?
Well, his lips are mutinous, so he's lying.
Well, you could say that for all of them, really. I mean, yep. As much as I like Sanders' doublespeak, if you will, you find contradictions within his logic as well. I just don't find it to be possible that we can expand government and that same right make it smaller. Like, yep. It's a contradicting itself, you know what I mean? Like, giving them more power, which will then give us more rights. It doesn't make sense. If history has shown us anything, that we give them more power, we lose power. And that's what I see anyway.
Yep. And if you don't believe about the whole lobbyist thing, all you got to do is go down to your local Capitol, just stand out front watching the people go through the metal detectors, then look off to the right or left and see the ones that aren't going through them and how well-dressed they are.
Mm-hmm.
Get a clue.
That's a good point, yeah.
What allows them to go through while you stand there trying to get through a metal detector.
Yep. It's an elitist society. I mean, that's what we live in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oligarchy, plutocracy, whatever you want to call it. It's something that gives the power to the rich or the, you know, the elite. There's a small group of people that have power over the rest of us, and that can't be disregarded. That's happening. I mean, really, at the end of the day, with anything, whether that's politics or big pharma or the environment, whatever it is, the moment that you give someone a profit motive, people will cheat.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just human nature. And it's, I hate to say that, but it's true. It doesn't even necessarily make someone a bad person. Who knows? Maybe they're trying to feed their family. I mean, there's justifications behind everything. But at the end of the day, when you give someone a profit motive, they're going to find ways to make it happen.
Yep.
And you know, and that's just the way it is. And that's what we're seeing right now in everything, whether that's in the prison industry today or big pharma or, you know, pharmaceuticals. These people have a profit motive to keep their industry thriving, whether or not it's needed. You know what I mean? They want more people in prisons. They want more people on pills. And mm-hmm. That's the point, because it makes money for them.
Yeah.
And you can't, almost can't even knock them for it. You know,
like any corporation, they're all based off that base, like the profit margin. That's their investors want money back, so
exactly.
They're gonna make the most money they can.
Right. You made that point the other day that they all have shareholders. Mm-hmm. You know, and these people all need to. I mean, that's what I'm saying is you almost can't knock them for this. You know, yeah. As much as I'd like to believe people can be moral and stand back and be like, oh, we probably shouldn't do this. It's immoral. The point is that they're playing within the rules. It's the government. It's the elitists that have created the system that they're working within.
Yeah.
You know. Probably that they have. The same people working within the top ranks of their company now as well. It's that far gone, but it's kind of overwhelming at this point.
I wouldn't be surprised if people like Michael Taylor still work with Monsanto. Or did he go back to Monsanto recently?
I'm not sure, but that's the thing about it is they flip-flop. And that's what's
exactly.
Disgusting about it.
Like, what if they actually just have aliases as well, and they're just fulfilling different acting roles, whether it be president of this company or mm-hmm. vice president of that company, and then, you know, secretary of defense for the government, and then, who knows, some kind of governor in England.
If that's not, I mean, just think about that. It's just disgusting that you can see these people, work, like, you know, Monsanto or whatever it may be, that, you know, specifically, like, even, like, I think it was the pharmaceutical industry we were just talking about the other day, where you got someone that's, you know, working on, you know, the regulation industry, and then they go right to a job with Merck.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, how do you not see that can cause a problem? That mm-hmm. whichever side they're on, and then they even go back and forth. They'll jump back and forth a few times in their career.
Yeah.
And it's like, look at that obvious contradiction right there. So they can stand there and pass legislation forever that helps Merck, and then jump over and take the high-paying Merck job and push legislation to their friends that still, yeah. You know, and back and forth and back and forth.
Whatever happened to conflict of interest?
I know, right? I
mean, wasn't that a law or something?
Well, I you know, I probably. What isn't a law these days? But it's definitely an obvious, you know, a conflict of interest is pretty obvious, and that's something that is, you know, like you said, it doesn't even matter anymore. It's something that is it's kind of thrown out the window in politics. But you know what? It matters for us.
Yeah.
In our small world, if something happens on our level, oh God, you can't do that. That's immoral. You know, it's like all the high minded rules that get thrown down on us don't apply to them. Yeah, it's very frustrating. I mean, I think that this all ultimately ties back to lobbyists. And, you know, at this day and age, there's probably a lot further reaching historical precedent, like we said before, about when they got paid in the first place. it's not supposed to be a paid position. This is supposed to be a public service. And we started paying them right off the, what is it, 1851.
Mm-hmm.
That created that culture where all of a sudden, no, okay, we can profit from this. What else can we do to make a profit, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's become lobbyists, in my opinion, where you have active members of big business that are paid to go out and bribe politicians. And that is legitimately what it is. I mean, you can call it campaign contributions, but break down what that is. They're giving politicians money for their campaign with the intention of them passing legislation that helps their company. Otherwise, why would they be doing it? They're not just out there giving money to people. They're not philanthropists.
And the average ratio of lobbyists to politicians is 6 to 1.
That's shocking. I mean, just think about that, too. So they're just overwhelmed. I mean, even the ones out there that are actually trying to do some good. I mean, because they've spoken out about how there's plenty of politicians that just despise the entire back and forth between lobbyists and, like, a lot of the lower ranking, you know, in Congress or, you know, not presidential candidate type people, they actually have to sit down and phone campaign where they're literally forced to. And there's been a lot of people that have like spoken out about this, how it's just disgusting. They're cold calling people and just going and basically begging for money.
Yeah,
because really that's what it's come down to in this culture, that, you know, I think it's something like 97% of the time the person with the most money wins.
Oh yeah.
I mean think about that. I mean, what does that say? I mean, it's no secret to us anymore, but to those that are still kind of denying the fact that that's how this country runs, I mean, look at that. I mean, and then you take into the idea of the third party. There's only been, you know, I think it was, what, Teddy Roosevelt and Ross Perot were the only two that ever got close as a presidential candidate.
Yeah.
I believe Theodore was, it was his second time because he was trying, and he got kicked aside by the, by his own cabinet or whatever, but he got kicked aside. Mm-hmm. And so they went with somebody else. But the point is that, you know, that's pretty crazy. There's been people, especially today, when you've got the majority of Americans who don't want either Democrat or Republican.
Yeah, and so, how many times do you see a third party involved in the debates?
Well, never. Yeah, I mean, but that's by design. Yep. You know, they don't want you to know about them. They want you to think that there's only two things happening. And it's just this whole left-right paradigm that we've gotten connected to. You know, but going back to lobbyists, basically what we're seeing is that, you know, the idea of it, which is interesting, that what they're described as far as the justification, rather, is that they essentially paid activity in which special interest, you know, hire well-connected professional advocates, often lawyers, to argue for specific legislation and decision-making bodies such as the United States Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's like the justification for it. That in the definition is the activity of lobbying has been interpreted by court rulings as constitutional, protected free speech, and a way of petitioning the government for the redress of grievances. I'm sorry, I got this mixed up. That was the justification. The idea is that they're trying to make a claim as if lobbyists are petitioning these people for grievances or things that they want changed.
Right.
And even that in itself makes it seem as if they're paying them to change their mind. You know what I mean? Like, that's their justification, but to me, that's just as bad as anything else.
Well, in the legal loophole of it, you know, a person, first and foremost, is considered a corporation.
Yep.
So, by these lobbyists, you know, speaking their grievances for their person that they represent, the corporation, it's totally within their legal rights, unfortunately.
Yep. Well, that's the sad thing about it today, is that all this stuff is within the law.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the whole kind of crony thing we're involved in today, is that these laws get slipped in and passed, and half the time we don't even know about it until they start declaring it to claim that what they're doing is okay, you know? And it's just kind of frustrating. You know, just because something's legal today doesn't make it right and moral, you know? And that's what we tend to blur those lines between what's right and what's moral. Or, sorry, what's legal and what's moral. And
that's so stupid.
They're not necessarily the same thing. I mean, just because you're wearing a badge doesn't make you right. You know, we can't forget that idea.
Yeah, that little badge doesn't mean anything to me. There's not a single person on this planet that's got authority over me. There's only one thing that does. It ain't nowhere here.
What's
that's
that?
For damn sure. God.
Oh,
God,
yeah, yeah.
Source. No one else can tell me anything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one I was going to talk about. I mean, we've talked about the badge thing the other day with the flags.
Oh yeah, have you heard anything else on that?
No. I mean, it's still gonna keep happening. I bet you we start to see that go across the country. You know, but it's just pretty frustrating that we still think that is the case. You know, one of the current events I was going to talk about later, but it ties in right now, is simply that we have a court just ruled that cops essentially don't have to know the laws they enforce. That's essentially, like, wow. That's not what they literally said, but that's what it pans out to when you break it down. And basically, the cop was pretty much saying that, like, the idea is that they're allowed, in one state, they're allowed to basically pull someone over for, let's say, a broken taillight, and then if they find something else in the search, it's justified, right? Because it happened in that succession.
That's basically saying guilty before innocent.
Well, yeah, but no, I mean, the idea is you're pulling someone over for an infraction. I get that. But the idea is that if you pull someone over based on an assumption of a crime, that is against the law, right? You can't just do that. However, in this other state, the cop pulled him over for a broken taillight, but in their state, broken taillight was not against the law, right? The cop should have damn well known that. That's what I hate about this whole concept. They should know more about the law than anybody.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like, if they don't know the laws, they can just pull them over and say whatever, and then find a law they broke later on.
Well, they can lie. I mean, that's something that we all know. The cops can just basically make it up. That's why you should film a cop every time something happens. Not to assume that they're all going to lie. There's plenty of honest cops out there, but it's for your safety. It's any human being with a gun walks up to you, yeah, it's probably good to film them, you know, just so you're safe, you know? But I mean, anyway, the point was he pulled him over for a taillight. It was broken, and then he found something else. And the court ruled that even though the taillight was not illegal, so essentially he was breaking the law, that he thought he was doing what was right, so that's what mattered, essentially. Wow. And it's like, are you kidding me? So now it's like, now you basically just gave a free rein to these cops to basically... So basically the point was made in the article that really this promotes the fact that the less they know, the better for them. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they can pretty much be like, I didn't know any better, but they still broke the law. We found it, so 10 to jail.
Yeah. It's, well, like, I beat him to death because I felt threatened.
Right. Yeah.
Now that's just more justified.
Or you beat him because he looked at you funny, and then drugs fall out of his pocket, and that's all okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, you still broke the law.
Don't you mean drugs fell into his pocket?
Yeah, right. but that's what we're seeing. I mean, that's kind of like a parallel for everything we're talking about, you know, is that it's bigger than the law, you know, these lobbyists, the politicians, all this stuff. The laws don't apply to them. We go up and try to bribe somebody to do something. That's a crime. We're going to jail. But these lobbyists bribe politicians to literally change policy and affect the way that we live our lives. And that's just business as usual, you know. We actually just played a video on here not just recently about the Georgian Georgian press that went to try to, I think it's actually Georgonian. How do you, is it Georgian? Georgia. I don't know.
Georgonian.
I don't know.
Hey, Toodle, if you're listening, right? Let us know. What are you?
But so we played that video where he went up and tried to like ambush the kind of secretive lobbyist Georgia politician meeting, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's these are what they call bill mills. Just like the concept of pill mills, where these doctors are shoveling out pills, it's the same thing, but with legislation.
Yeah.
And should be, if it does sound shocking, it should be. These politicians are getting together with lobbyists in places like Las Vegas, you know, high-end resorts in special rooms, and they talk about policy. And they've literally shown that these lobbyists will write legislation, like actually write out the bill with blanks for the politicians to put their names on. Mm-hmm. This is not conspiracy theory. This is verified. You can look this up. And then they basically will add their information and pass it.
Well, the same exact thing has happened to the Patriot Act. You know, no one had time to read that thing, or the NDAA.
Right.
No one had time. It was like passed the next day it was presented. People signed it and moved it along.
Pretty much. And that would be one of the most damning pieces of legislation in our history for this country. But I mean, you know, what we're talking about here is that, you know, whereas that didn't get looked at, this is like where it, you know, hasn't even been written by politicians. This is like active drug companies or other people that are writing legislation that benefits them, slipping it over to the politicians. They sign their name and they pass the bill.
Yeah.
And then again, people don't look at it in Congress, you know, and it's just crazy to me. But so that's what this guy in Georgia was trying to ambush them and say, hey, you know, what's going on in this room? I have a right to be here. I'm part of Georgia press. You know, I am your constituents. I have a right to know what's going on. And not only did they deny him access, they tried to take him away, and then they called the police and had him escorted away.
Yep.
And so he was like, I have a room in this hotel. And they were like, not for long. You know, we talked about this before, obviously, but it's just crazy to me that that's can even be allowed. Technically, it's not. Actually, federally against the law. But doesn't matter for them, does it?
No.
You know, we have it on film that it's happening, but it's okay. Yeah. They're, you know, these are lobbyists and it's campaign contributions and they're doing it in secret in the back room. No big deal.
Jekyll Island every year.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I mean, we see these things in every facet of politics. But, you know, this guy was specifically talking about, you know, Georgia legislation, but it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. That's to me, that is such a big deal. When you think about what legislation can do, you know, how it can act. I mean, like you just said, let's look at the Patriot Act. Look at what it's done for this country. Look at the things that it's changed. I mean, we have literally seen a complete overhaul in this country. I mean, look at, you know, like we were talking about last week, the cameras popping up everywhere, mm-hmm. all these different things that are happening. You know, we're seeing an active shift in this country, and it's all due to legislation.
I can't wipe my ass without getting an RFID chip in my butt.
Yeah, pretty much. And and you're going to start seeing that popping up. Believe it. It's coming. I mean, that's the new big thing right now. But it's... And this all comes from these bill mills. I mean, not all, but the idea that they can do that. I mean, like we just said, you give them a profit motive. You got the lobbyists who are being paid to manipulate this, and then you're giving them money that's going to give into the politicians. What do you think is going to happen? They're going to pass it. Yeah. No problem. And that really, to me, kind of just does away with this whole facade we have about checks and balances. You know what I mean? About how we're supposed to be... You know, everything's supposed to kind of equal out from, the, you know, other... You know, it's just... To me, it's just... It's this whole system... is colluding. You know, we need to shatter the left-right paradigm and understand that everybody within this system is essentially working towards one goal, whether they even realize it or not.
Yeah.
And it's pretty sad.
Oh, when was the last time we actually had notice of a bill being presented or discussed, even discussed?
Absolutely.
I don't know if anybody remembers this, but, what was it, 8 years ago when the Antichrist took over our presidency, he said something about... You know, every bill, every legislation that I intend to sign will be on the website for 3 days, and anybody can go and view it. And that shit never happened.
Yeah, he also said no boots on the ground, and he was going to close Guantanamo, but yeah, that didn't happen either.
So, transparency. It just means, yeah. I don't even know what that means, transparency.
You can see right through him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, that's the really depressing part. That's what really gets me down, is it's like, you know, I definitely believe that we can change something from the core level, like we always talk about, the local level. But sadly, my opinion, I don't think we can change this. And that's what's kind of depressing. I don't want to discourage anyone that's actively campaigning for this to change. And I'll support it. I'll sign it. I believe in this. I think of that if this was possible, if we could change the system from within, this would be the way to do it. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't think it's possible.
There's too many numbnuts out there.
There's just too many systems in place to stop change from happening. You know what I mean? Like, a perfect example within the system of the presidential election is superdelegates, right? I mean, that's exactly why that was put in place on the Democratic side, is that they're put in place to basically keep control on their side. You know, that they want to be able to have that last, you know, they can manipulate the way those predominant number of delegates go at the very last moment to make sure that they know where it's happening. You know, this all stems from people like Perot and things like that, where, not necessarily Perot specifically, but the idea of someone like that is running on a third-party ticket, and they were scared. They were worried that someone like that could rise up and take the Democratic candidacy, you know?
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, well, let's do this. And, you know, that's an active measure to control it, to stop change. You know, and we're seeing it everywhere.
And then, of course, you also got to the Supreme Court. You know, that they came in and said, "Oh yeah, Bush, you got it."
Yep. That's one thing that I actually, funny you say that. I was just thinking about it today. It's pretty sad to think that even like Supreme Court justices can be manipulated.
Oh yeah.
And I don't. I mean, I don't have any proof per se to say that. And I could probably look it up and find some pretty quick. But I don't have any proof per se to show that anybody's lying or cheating on, you know, Supreme Court justice. But it's not that far-fetched. They're just human beings like anybody else. You know, it's like we said about police officers. We always like to put this kind of moral... I don't know. We cast them in this light of, like, moral superiority.
I've got a perfect...
And they're not all like that, you know?
I got a perfect personal experience. A good friend of mine out here, Bob Saunders, he wouldn't mind me saying his name, he had his kids taken from him, and the judge that ruled against him... I don't know the name. But anyway, the judge against him just... I think it was last year or the year before... was drunk driving, hit a bicyclist, and called her special police number and got out of it. And he's been fighting that ever since.
Man.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's these people have connections like everybody. And they're very powerful people at the end of the day. You know, like we were just talking about with the police one. I mean, that came from a judge, and he essentially ruled that this cop didn't need to know what he was talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't seem like collusion, what does? I mean, you're talking about the law. You're a judge. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the idea that these are police officers. Like,
just bring them in and I'll decide who's guilty.
Yeah, right. I mean, they're literally, literally enforcing the law and they don't need to know the law. I mean, that's absurd. I mean, that's why I love seeing these videos from Cop Block wherever, where these people know more about the law than these cops. And they're even getting to the point where cops are like, well, you obviously know about the law more than I do, but you know, and they're even admitting it on tape, you know? Yeah. It's just like, wouldn't that embarrass you?
Yep.
I'm a cop. I'm going to know every damn thing about everything in the law, you know? I mean, that's what you do. That's like a car salesman. You walk up to him and try to buy a car, and he's like, I don't know much about him, but you know, that's blue, that's red. Mm-hmm. You know, you point it out, I'll sell it to you. You know, it's like, well, yeah, it's your flipping job. You're supposed to know everything about it, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, so essentially now we are paying them to arrest us.
Yeah, right?
Put us in front of a judge who will determine if we're guilty or not.
Right. Enforce your official narrative. It's too bad. You know, and like talking about judges and other things as well, is, you know, we see, and we touched on this already a little bit, that you're seeing these positions being funneled into lobbyists, whether they're not necessarily judges, because most of them stay for quite a long time, but in the politician side of, you know, presidents and, you know, different things like that, you know, the candidates and different people for Congress. And, you know, they're in there for years and then their term is up and then they shift over to go work for lobbying jobs and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's overwhelming at this point. I think you pointed this out about, what was it? Oh, it was Monsanto's board of directors, right? But I mean, it's pretty disgusting. If you actually take a moment to break down these lobbyist groups and then compare them with the big business boards of directors, you know what I mean? And then compare it over the last 20 years, it's pretty damn shocking.
Mm-hmm.
How much crossover there is. It's almost as if they all collect from one special elite group.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy, right? That doesn't happen.
It's just like the sports arena, you know, like you got the draft every year and you got free agents and, you know, they all get signed or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
They got their salaries based on probably where they came from and how good they are, supposedly.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's something that, I mean, I don't know. What would you think, in your opinion, is like the biggest overreaching part of what we're talking about? You know what I mean? Like, we all know that essentially it's taking rights away from us, but as a lobbyist and the connection between a lobbyist, money, and politics with politicians,
dictating our international trade rights,
right? Exactly. And that's the reason I'm asking that, is because I always like to see where it is personally for somebody, you know, because for me, like I'm saying, is that I think just in a broad sense, I don't like the idea that a company who only cares about their bottom line is dictating what I'm going to be doing with my life, you know?
Yeah.
But like you said, think about that when it comes to like the TTP and things like that. Like this is legislation that got passed, and who's to say that entire bill wasn't written by some lobbyist firm that has ties with overseas trade?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Or even an oil company.
Or anything. Yeah. I mean, it's very, I don't know, it's depressing.
Yeah.
it's like, that's why I hate to come to this conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, but I, you know, to me, it seems like it's pretty much an uphill battle that can't be won. So that's why, you know, we need to make this grassroots change. It needs to go back to the community level.
Yeah.
You know, break away from the big establishment. You need to create your own legislature. You need to own your own group of men and women from the local level that can stand up and collectively pass laws that represent the people. That's the big thing, is everything we're seeing today does not represent the people.
No.
And you can see that in any poll you look at anywhere these days. It's like polls don't even matter. You know, it's like, oh, whatever happened to the idea that it's kind of majority rule, that we vote and that the majority of Americans dictate what we do in this country. Almost everything we pass these days is very, it's unanimously either like right now we're just talking about with the presidential election. We've got probably like 70% of this country that do not want one or the other.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that right there should be like, okay, well, we need to present something that the people want.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we're doing anymore. That should be pretty apparent to everybody.
I think everybody should just write their own name in.
Yeah.
Into the ballot,
right? Well, then they would just pick themselves anyway.
Yeah,
I that's why I say, and you know, this is an argument I get in every day. But the idea that not voting is an act of civil disobedience. You know, not voting is a political statement. It is not laziness. It is not like, if you're not voting because you just are lazy and don't want to go, yes, that's laziness. But to not vote because you feel like that is your only option and that you feel that the system is rigged and that you can't do anything to change it, I believe in that. I genuinely do.
Well, there's some society. There's some social programming for you. You know, when you say you don't vote, and how many dirt, you'll get more dirty looks than you don't saying something like that. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's because they've been manipulated into thinking that that's their only outlet.
Yeah.
You know, that that's like, no, don't worry about everything terrible that happened the last 4 years. Yeah. You go write your name on this piece of paper and you're all good.
Thanks, yeah. MTV's Rock the Vote. Right. That. Rock the Vote.
It's like going to like confession at Catholicism. You know, it's like you confess your sins and you're all good. And come back next time. You know, wow. And it's like that's what it is every 4 years for these people. They vote and it's like they feel that they have relinquished all their guilt for the terrible things that have happened, you know?
While on your knees sucking on the priest's Peter.
Yikes. That's, you know, we should do a show on that, man. That's something that we should have Anthony come back on for that one.
What, Catholic cocksuckers?
Well, yeah, just pedophilia in general, and rampant within elitist society.
I don't know how much I want to get into kids like that, but you guys are more than welcome to. That really bothers me. It makes me want to go out.
Totally. But that's the thing, is it should bother everybody, but it's something that people, it's one of those topics that people speak out about, like no name recognition people, and it's just like people don't even acknowledge it.
And it's so crazy too. I think we actually brought it up a little bit before, but how a priest, they'll be well known in the community, they get found out by the the Catholic Church, and they just move.
Uh-huh.
They move to another state or another country, another parish, whatever, and get caught 20 years later and move again.
Man. And that's not like a isolated event.
No.
There's been a few, just like with the cops in Chicago where they end up popping up for some other police force. And it's like, really? That guy like raped somebody. How can you know? It's like, come on. Are you just going to give him another job somewhere else and pretend like we're not going to notice? It's that. It's the good old boys club, man. It's like that in all these elitist societies. And that's like you said before, you know, the pillars. It's Catholic, you know, church, the state, you know, the
finance, military,
that's right.
Religion.
Finance, military, religion, and it's real. It really is the pillars of elitist society.
It's on our flags too. Like Washington D.C., you know, it's got a red star on its flag.
Mm-hmm.
The Vatican, Vatican City has a red star on their flag. The flag of London, City of London, which is its own little sovereign nation or whatever, has a red star on its flag. So those three stars together, you got the three powers.
Mm-hmm.
Finance, religion, and military.
Yeah.
There's your one world government right there.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's, you know, I mean, really, whether or not that's actually what's happening, that's what we're going to. Or I should say, rather, whether or not that's what they plan to do, that's where we're headed. You know what I mean? Like, I genuinely think that they're trying to make that happen. I mean, they're politicians and name-worthy people have spoken out about the idea of a one-world government. It's not some secret idea. They want it to happen.
Even on the level, thinking from an elitist point of view, if you have, let's just take four tiers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get the bottom tier, the next one up, the next one up, and then the top tier. Well, if they're working on this one-world government, then the best interest for all, you start at the bottom tier until you work them out, and then you go up to the next tier. You know, as those tiers get knocked out, they're thinking, well, I'm going to get knocked out anyway, so I'm going to go with the winner, pretty much. You know, whoever's going to be on top, so I'm going to side with them. So it just keeps happening until all the power gets consolidated into this one world whatever.
Right.
And that's the family that's going to be on top.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it's, I mean, look at where we've already gone to in the last 50 years. I mean, you know, obviously the United States is an entity. Then we saw the European Union collect, you know what I mean? And it's like, there's things on, they're trying to create one for the East, they're trying to create one for, you know, for everything, really. I mean, they believe that if we could collect everything under one government, that, I mean, think of the control that would give.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's exactly why they want it. I mean, they can claim it's for, you know, we talked about the UN agenda, you know, Agenda 21, and these things where, you know, they're actively speaking out about, like, a new universal plan or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, this is not a secret.
They don't give a shit about us. I mean, when you look at their houses, their governor palaces or whatever, you know, Rockefeller, Rothschilds with their 26 estates with $120,000 studs and horses and racetracks and countless cars, helicopters, helipads, jumbo jets, private jets, and they can't. I mean, how much of that money? They could sell a couple of their houses and feed a whole nation of children.
Oh, totally.
Easily. What's the problem?
Well, exactly. I mean, even like that's a great, like, funny point. Like, think about that for a second. You know, you take the.
That's just one family.
Right. Well, you take the 62 elitists. There's that article we put out a couple months ago about how, you know, whatever, 62 men have more money than, like, the rest of the world, right?
Yep.
And you take those 62 men, right, that are probably all billionaires, you know, most likely. I mean, I don't know if there's some on the... Yeah, I mean, no, they have to be, right? If they're 62 more than everybody, everyone on the list is a billionaire. So the idea is that you take all of them and, you know, you take let's say, 10 million from each of them, right? I mean, that's, you know, I mean, even just say 1 billion from each of them, for Christ's sake, you know what I mean? And they would all have billions of dollars left. That would solve just about every problem we have. You know, world hunger. I mean, it's just crazy that they can't just do that. Like, we're actively trying to, pass legislation and do this and Monsanto and ending world hunger, when they could just take one step and end it right there.
I mean, that $10 million is less than what they earn in interest alone.
Totally. I don't know if we've talked about this before on the show, but the idea, and this was I forget what I saw this on, but this was, it's like a mathematical certainty here with Bill Gates, right? You take Bill Gates, and you could do this with anybody like Warren Buffett, someone like that that's, you know, has the same kind of money, a Rockefeller, Rothschild. But you take Bill Gates and he'll have in front of a fire, right? And you take hypothetically all of his money, theoretically, behind him, right? So he's got a pile of all of his money sitting behind him.
Uh-huh.
You essentially have him start throwing his money into the fire. The idea is that he could not throw it all in fast enough. He makes money behind it based just on interest faster than he can throw it into the fire.
Yeah.
So the idea is that he could literally walk down the street throwing handfuls of money in the air and he would die with more money than he started with.
Yep.
I mean, that is just frustrating. You know what I mean? Like, why doesn't he go? I mean, I know that he does actually do some philanthropy and things like that, but on a massive scale.
Because he makes money at it.
Well, exactly.
I mean, the tax write-offs for contributing like that to the... It's ridiculous. It's not morally set. It's financially set, totally, what he does.
Well, I mean, obviously, we could get into Bill Gates a lot. He's got a lot of sketchy ties, in my opinion, to Monsanto and things like that.
Yeah.
But think about that. Like, the idea... And then you extrapolate that over the 62, all of them. You know, you take all of them. And if the idea that they could pretty much... They can't burn their money literally fast enough to run out of money, why don't they just solve these problems? You know what I mean? Buy all the food for all these countries. And it's like, I mean, you could make arguments why that wouldn't be sound, the idea that you're then kind of, you know, you're kind of a crutch for them and that they're going to rely on you in the future. But it doesn't matter. We're talking about human lives here.
Yeah.
People are dying, you know? And all we're doing is capitalizing on that.
Well, he's actually, Bill Gates is huge on the eugenics thing,
mm-hmm,
and transhumanism.
Absolutely.
So he doesn't want to feed anybody.
yeah, right? He wants to become a god?
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, I mean, you know, speaking of men who want to become gods and kind of rolling into some current events here that tie in with this, the Bilderberg 2016. You know, we've talked about this as a conspiracy freestyle before.
That's right.
And it's great because... Well, this is such a great point to bring up that right now, today, Bilderberg 2016 now has its own website and has released a list of its agendas and people showing up.
So you know, it's all fake.
I wouldn't say it's all fake. I would say, one, that the list of agendas are, if you look at it, it's wildly vague. So you have no idea what they mean when they say these things.
Yeah.
And then two, I highly doubt that everyone's listed on that list of attendees. But here's the crazy part. 50 years ago, this was a conspiracy theory, right? Bilderberg didn't exist. You guys are crazy tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists.
Not even that. It was like 15, 20 years ago.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm just, you know, covering all bases. You go back a while ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you go back 10, you know, 20 years ago even, there were still people that were trying to film it and speaking out about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was still a conspiracy theory, but it was getting attention, right? Back, you know, long time ago, it's unspeakable, right?
Yeah.
You can't even, Bilderberg doesn't even get talked about. And even right now, even though it's being released and it's a basically meeting of the most powerful men in the world, you know, you have intelligence agencies from CIA, FBI, NSA, whatever. You got heads of state, big business, you know, heads of big business. I mean, that's not important, is it? Why would the mainstream want to talk about the biggest meeting of the most powerful people in the world, right? It's like, come on. That's like the most politically relevant thing anywhere happening right now, the election.
Talk about a conflict of interest.
Exactly.
Intelligence agencies meeting in a place with mainstream media moguls.
Right.
Come on.
With all of them. And, you know, that's the crazy thing is you got... There was people from, like, Bloomberg and stuff like that, and that they're not discussing this on the media. They're there. They're talking about stuff, but they're not reporting on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like, this is just a wild conflict of interest.
Yeah.
And the great thing is that, you know, this is what we try to talk about, is that people just kind of, like, they just forget. Oh, yeah, that we thought it was a conspiracy theory. Now it's revealed. It's all good. We're on the same page now. No, we're not on the same page. You were calling us crazy 2 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, think about that. Like, you need to start, like, recognizing the fact that you people out there refuse to accept things and deny it and throw stones. You know, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. And then once it gets acknowledged by the holier-than-thou mainstream media, then okay, then it's real. You know, mm-hmm. and it's like, take a step back and acknowledge that dynamic, you know? And then question for yourself, what else is real that they're lying about, you know? And then really take a moment to realize that they were lying. Those last 50 years or however many years, the mainstream media are intentionally not covering this, and when politicians were asked about it, they outright denied it. That's lying.
Yeah.
Right? So the point is, now we're talking about it today, it's becoming mainstream, and it's out there now because of independent journalists like Dan Dix and Lou Kradowski that are out there bringing this to the forefront, you know?
Or they are now talking about it because they've got a new meeting base and a new name.
Exactly. I mean, that's probably already happening anyway. There's probably more than one Bilderberg anyway.
Yeah. Like the Committee of 300 now is taking over or something.
Yeah, right? I mean, who knows? I mean, there's probably more than one, and there always has been. But the simple idea is that just because we've found out now, they're trying to make it mainstream. But the mainstream media is still not talking about it. They only mention it in regards to the fact that something is happening in regards to that. You know, like, this happened around this event. It's not like, this is happening right now, this is what it is. Even if it's on a website, you know?
Now they have an excuse that they can, you know, talk about events around the Bilderberg event, saying, you know, violent protesters interrupted the, who knows, the UN meeting for public safety. You know, totally spin it negatively.
Right. I mean, it's so obvious that it's surrounded by armed guards. It's like a military base.
Even have a section that's like, what, a mile or so away from the actual hotel,
where you're not allowed to go, pretty much.
Well, it's a fenced off area, kind of like a free speech zone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where all the reporters are supposed to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they're trying to go. Even walking by it, they're getting searched and accosted and threatened. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, yeah, this is no big deal. That's just a bunch of people hanging out. Don't worry about it. You know, it's just such a joke that they try to pretend that nothing's happening with this, you know. And this goes all right back to the main topic of money and politics, right? Everybody in this room is colluding to create legislation that benefits everybody in that room, mm-hmm. right? I mean, and that is the very definition of a conflict of interest, just like we talked about. You know, like you were saying, that you've got the people there from all these different, you know, whether that be media or security or big business or whatever. And that is money in politics. I mean, in my opinion, Bilderberg in itself is the definition of what we're talking about today.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's just something that needs to get more attention.
All those things. Bilderberg, Bohemian Grove.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And again, that's just like Bohemian Grove is another one that we're like, oh, that's crazy. You're crazy. It's getting more light, and we've already proven that it's real, right? Yeah. But still, people still pretend like it doesn't exist, or they're like, oh, they're just gathering for fun. It's just a little outing. You know, it's like, yeah.
I will take you to the doorstep. I know exactly where it's at. Let's go hang out for a week and yeah.
The point is, men like this and women like this do not gather for casual get-togethers. No. You know what I mean? The Queen of England is here. You know what I mean? This is a big deal. It's just like, I don't even know.
Let's go hang out.
Yeah.
With my $1,500 glass of sherry.
Right. Man, oh man. Well, in other news, there's a pretty shocking one that comes to light when we're talking about kind of, you know, this ties in with the lobbyist and as regards to the big pharmaceutical side of it. But right now they are releasing a new candy flavored ADHD medication.
What the fuck?
I mean, I don't even know what it is. It's just like that one. It cracks me up. It's like, what are you? I mean, so how is that allowed?
Joe Camel from Camel Cigarettes is back, basically.
I'm so glad you said that. That's not allowed, right? So we're not allowed to have this cartoon character selling cigarettes because cigarettes are bad. But one of the leading causes of death in this country, which is pharmaceuticals, it's okay. We can make candy gummy. This is just so you know, ADHD, like Adderall, it's crystal meth.
Yep.
It's essentially crystal meth. It's chemically like the same thing. And it's, you know, when we're giving this to kids, and we just talked about recently about the number of kids that are on these, right? Like 0 to 1. It's like over a million kids on psychotropic drugs and antidepressants. And it's like, oh my God, it's unbelievable. And this actually came from an article from Stat News. And it's a drug called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Adzenys. It's Adzenys.
Sounds like an Italian mafioso.
Yeah, but it's just crazy that the FDA can approve this, right? Oh, no big deal. Like, it's no problem, right? But we still can't approve cannabis alternative medicine, right? It's still against the law. It just blows my mind. It's, you know, but crazy enough that there are people within the industry that are raising some eyebrows to this, which is like, thank God. Like, finally somebody, you know, it's like there are people within their own industry that are going like, man, well, I think we took this a step too far. You know, it's like, yeah, you'd be correct because it's just disgusting.
What is that drug for?
Well, ADHD medication. Oh. So like, oh, you know, Adderall or, and you know, for hyperactivity. But the idea is there's a lot of people that will, and I've seen literature that really makes the case that ADHD in itself is really trumped up.
Yeah.
It almost doesn't exist. You know what I mean? That we're basically the way it works. And I just found this out recently, which just blows my mind. That so essentially in teamwork between teachers and doctors, right? They will have a list of, I think it was 9 things.
Mm-hmm.
They check things off that apply to a kid in their classroom. If 6 or more get checked off, they get ADHD medication. That's the scientific method that we're using right now. And these doctors, like, you know, I think even in here that they were saying that the main point was that doctors were already saying, he was meeting with people, like different companies and doctors that were saying they have no problem. The company was saying they have no problem meeting with interested doctors who want to prescribe this medication. Like, they're already saying how interested they are. Yeah, bring it to me. I'll prescribe it. It's just like, God, they make too much money from this kind of stuff. It's disgusting.
I wonder what the kickbacks are on those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, right now, I think it's like 75% of children diagnosed with ADHD are on other medication.
Wow.
You know, so it's even if all the diagnoses are legitimate, it's still advisable for most psychiatry circles to try behavior modification first. Mm-hmm. Before trying drugs. But that's not what we do in this country. It's medication. Boom, medication. Right out of the gate. Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, I don't see how this is something that parents will allow their children to take. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, to me, it just blows my mind. But that's for parents to decide for themselves. But the moment you start seeing candy medication come out, I mean, that should give you a pretty clear picture of what they're trying to do.
Now it makes me think of what the hell is actually in those Flintstone vitamins.
Yeah, right? I don't know. I don't take anything anymore. Who knows? But moving on to the next one, this one is pretty, this is definitely on the cusp of, you know, the conspiracy theory topics, because it's something, but it's verifiable. This is this is straight from a patent application. John Rappaport put out an article titled "Invisible Microparticles in Food Can Now Deliver Vaccines and Drugs." It's pretty scary. It's pretty Orwellian right there, right? It's
like nanobots.
I don't know, microparticles. So I guess that could qualify as a nano, but just anything that's, you know, a microparticle for, you know, essentially they're taking the drugs and the vaccines and breaking them down into small form and then attaching them to food.
You know, that reminds me of, what was that? I don't know all the details, but there's a story. It may have been a book, but somewhere back east in like a urban neighborhood, you could say, urban community, whatever, they had these aerosol cans that would go around spraying people and they would get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like a flu or something.
Hmm.
Kind of sounds like that.
Definitely. Well, I mean, that almost sounds to me like the idea of like a heart attack gun or something, you know, like a quick weaponized, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Right. There's people within this, the article that talk about that exact same kind of thing, right? I mean, like where this technology will end up going despite what they're claiming it's for right now. And then the simple idea, then they're questioning whether it's actually being used right now or not. And the way that what John Rappaport says right off the bat is that, you know, he's like, I compare a patent application with what at least one company can deliver to the unknowing public now.
Yeah.
Right. So, what, you know, basically, if they have a patent application, it's functionable. You know what I mean? So the idea is that, you know, knowing what our secret spy alphabet soup agencies do and the things they've been proven to do and the things that, you know, human experimentation has been proven in this country up till this point in time, right? So the idea is that it's not that crazy to think that they're using this right now. And it's like, we already have forced vaccination and things like that.
Exactly.
Arresting kids because they won't take your form of medicine. What's to say that they're not using this right now?
I have a scenario for you. Imagine you go into your doctor's office. You sit down. He's looking over your chart. He's really this entitled, smug prick, right? Just sitting there. He doesn't even look you in the eyes at all. He's looking at the chart and he says, I see you haven't had any vaccinations. Would you like one this year? And you say, no, I've never been sick. And then nonchalantly, He pulls a little spray bottle out of his pocket, sprays the air, and says, "Are you sure?"
a little blatant.
That's how it's gonna go. You watch.
Pretty much, right? Well, but the idea is that it would be. Like behind
it was just air freshener. I didn't spray him with anything. It was just he smelled like poop.
But it's I would say it's obviously going to be much more secretive than that, right? But it's exactly like that. That, you know, we're talking about chemtrails and things like that, where we're already testing what it's like 70-something% of water in this country is being tested and showing positive for, you know, barium, aluminum, glyphosate, all these things that we're pretending aren't a problem for us, even. You know, connected and together are probably more of a problem than we realize.
Remember when they said that cow flatulation was a huge problem for the ozone?
I remember, we talked about that. I never saw that story, but you said it was, you saw it. Where did you see that?
Oh, I don't remember. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was big when it used to be called.
Oh, wait, you know what? I misheard you just then. You're talking about. Methane from cows.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually verifiable, whether it's actually a huge problem or not.
Right.
It does have an effect on the ozone. What was the one you talked about the one the other day about breathing it in that makes
Supposedly makes you healthier.
Yeah. Anyway, what were you saying?
So, okay, well, actually, that ties in really good with my new theory. Another fun theory for you.
Okay.
So, back then, the cows were farting, and so it's bad for the ozone.
Or still today.
They, I mean, I don't think they'd stop farting. Yeah. It's not like they're female women. Or something. They just don't stop farting.
It just doesn't happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. I smell like roses. What are you talking about? Anyway, so if they're feeding these cows something this whole time, these microparticles, they're farting, it's going in the atmosphere, and now they got chemtrails from the cows. And now it's healthy to smell farts. So you go and you start sniffing cows' butts. Not that extreme, but you know what I'm saying. And now you got these microparticles that you voluntarily breathed in.
Right. I'll leave the cow's butts to you, but I get. But totally, though. I mean, it's not that this whole idea. First of all, the point is that this is science. This is happening. Like, this is not some concept that we're discussing. This is under patent review right this moment.
Yeah.
Right. So this is something that they're trying to make, you know, out there and in the public eye. But it's probably happening as we speak right now.
I don't think I'm the only crazy motherfucker out there that thought of these things. Someone else has thought of it. Come on. I'm not the only one. If it's been thought of, it's been done.
Right.
I mean, okay, here's a crazy one for you. World War II, you know how one of the plans was to deliver the atom bomb?
Mm-hmm.
On the backs of bats. Hmm. They had all these little the explosive device.
Incendiary.
All these miniature incendiary devices strapped to the bats of bats. And the thought was they would release them over Japanese towns, primarily made of bamboo. They would fly in, go to a place to rest. They would rest in the rafters, right?
Hmm.
They would ignite them, and then boom, the town burns down.
Interesting. I've never heard that. That's, you know, it's very outside the box for sure, but that's, you know... That's interesting.
Yeah, so I'm not the only crazy one out there.
Trust me, as much as we may sound crazy from time to time, we're probably more of the sane ones out there, sadly enough. But, I mean, going back to this idea of the food, it just is something that really scares me because, you know, we're talking about, you know, GMOs and all this stuff that is already finding its way into our food that we're not okay with. You know, we're actively asking for labeling and it's not happening. And it's like, you know, it's just forced vaccination and all this stuff that it's very plausible right now that we are, you know, this is really just more advocation for growing your own food, you know, growing your own organics and, you know, pulling back from the grid, you know.
It's not that hard. There's a great book out there called The 10x10 Garden. It could feed a family of four for 6 months.
Right.
10x10 Garden.
It just takes a little effort. I mean, really, this is a huge advocate for that in my mind because, you know, going and buying your Kraft mac and cheese and these things that are, you know, obviously, first of all, terrible for you, but that could potentially have something like this in it. It's alarming to me.
Have you ever noticed whenever you throw up macaroni and cheese, the noodles come out the same as they went in?
What was that? When you do what?
Whenever you throw up macaroni noodles from like Kraft macaroni and cheese, they always come out the same they went in.
Oh, when you throw them up. Okay.
Yeah. I had a friend that got really drunk one time, had macaroni and cheese. She threw up all over the bathtub, and it just like someone dumped a box of noodles in the bathtub.
It's funny you say that, and it was such a great topic, but I was just talking about that with somebody, about how, you know, you're drunk or whatever, and you throw something up and you're like, that's an entire piece of something.
Yeah.
I remember chewing that entire thing. How does that happen?
Uh-huh. It seems like noodles, corn, What all? Rice, of course.
It's a conspiracy theory. Next week on Last American Vagabond, we're talking about throw up.
Yeah.
It doesn't? No, I'm just kidding.
The undissolvable food particles.
Oh, good. The
self-replicating microparticles.
Man, oh man. Well, it's, you know, as always, there's just plenty of lovely things happening in our news and our fantastic world today. Leaving you with those fun notes, let's move on to Conspiracy Freestyle.
Conspiracy Freestyle.
Okay, what do we got here today?
Conspiracy Freestyle. Yeah.
All right. Give me something good today here. Let's see what it is. RFID. Look at that. That's funny.
Oh, wow.
I didn't plan
that,
I swear.
That.
Yeah. That's okay. Interesting. So that's one that... That's a good topic, man. I mean, it really ties in with what we're going into today.
1998 in Southern Florida was the first family that volunteered for RFID tagging.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something, and you know, it's something we're seeing rising, though. We literally just talked about that, is that people are... There was the gentleman that actually was also a kind of the flagship for the whole thing, where he got the implant in his hand, remember? And he was going through the airport... Look at me, just breeze through TSA, you know, like trying to get him on board.
Yeah.
That's no way I want that.
Well, they try to sell it as convenience, like that big star or whatever overseas. And I get to go in any clubs, I just wave my hand.
Oh, that's right.
It's ridiculous. I mean, Aaron Russo, Aaron Russo, that's his name. America, Freedom to Fascism, that documentary, phenomenal. He talks about how the Rockefellers really want to implement this RFID chip because when it comes down to it, if you're not doing your part, they cut your chip off.
Mm-hmm.
There goes your bank,
everything,
your medical history, you
essentially cease to exist after that. Like, yep. You can't get anything done without it. It'd be essentially like today somebody erasing you from the system, like your social security number, your information, you know.
Yeah.
But then it will be just one quick thing, you know, one press of a button and you don't exist anymore, you know. And then it doesn't, that's not to mention what else could go along with that. I mean, I know that's more extreme of a conversation, but I mean, RDIF, or is it R, it's RDIF?
RFID, radio frequency identification.
RFID chips are a very real thing. I mean, that shouldn't be any kind of crazy topic for anybody out there. It's happening and it's already being produced.
Oh, yeah.
But the idea that they could do something more than that, whether that be of, you know, some kind of a frequency or GPS tracking or whatever, is very plausible, you know, or even something that could essentially administer something that could hurt you.
Yeah.
You know, that, I mean, and not to say that that's what would be directly the intention of the government, but that could be manipulated by somebody else.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like some other nefarious purposes or somebody else trying to do something, you know, I don't know. It's there's too much going on there for me. I don't want anything injected in my arm that doesn't, I don't know. It's just the idea of something foreign like that is unsettling to me.
Well, it's getting to the point where it doesn't have to be injected anymore. I mean, they have like these little, you know, they could actually put them in grains of rice, and they could embed themselves like with these nanobots or whatever. Boom, they just latch onto your stomach wall or something.
Interesting. Yeah, that's crazy too. I mean, even taking it one step further back, that they've already doing is in the licenses and passports and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's that guy that got in trouble in the UK for microwaving his license because it ruins the chip in there, right?
Yeah.
And then they got him in trouble for it. It's like, man, oh man, you know, because like I think you had said in the past, right? That's technically not your property,
exactly,
right? And it's like that's interesting. I mean, I would do that too. I mean, I don't want the simple idea that somebody's constantly tracking you. How? I mean, why is that? First of all, why is that necessary?
Well, this is a good point to bring up. Is those videos I sent you about the citizens against the cops.
Those were great videos. I wish we had those on the Police State show. That was...
Yeah. But a lot of them, you know, you don't have to... It is not the law to not only not show your ID to a cop, but you don't have to carry it. They make you think you do.
Mm-hmm.
You do not... You don't need your ID for anything, technically.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, have you seen that? I mean, because I don't know. It's funny how this always comes back to what we were told and taught by some, you know, officers, right? Because I was under the impression that technically it's you have to have an ID on you at all times, which again is just it's slightly a police state scenario, right?
Yeah.
Why should we have to be like that? But you're telling me that's not true, and that if it's not true, that's crazy. You know, that it's something we've been lied to forever. But the great thing about those videos is that he's showing you that. Basically, that, you know, like, let's say you're walking down the street and a cop comes up and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" You know, the two things you hear them say on those videos that if that you can practice if you don't really know any more than the law is that, you know, first of all,
or am I detained?
Well, or first it would be like, am I being charged with a crime? Right. Yeah. Like, if you're not being charged with a crime, you're not required to show your ID. You're not required to do any of that stuff.
Exactly.
And then if they're trying to do something else further than that, you can say, like, am I being detained? And if you're not being detained, you're free to go.
Yep.
And that's the thing. And then once they say you're detained, that's paperwork for them. There's things that they then have to do.
Yeah.
So if they're breaking the law, even though it probably wouldn't matter because they're just going to hide it from you anyway. But if they're breaking the law, that's why they would pull back once you say that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're not breaking the law, they're just trying to accost you to try to find something to prove.
Yeah. Right? And how many of those videos, too, did you see that actually people say, I don't need my ID?
Right. Well, I like that guy that apparently revolted from the entire thing where he called himself a free national.
Right.
Right. Where he had paperwork about it and that he was telling the cop that essentially that he doesn't have a driver's license, he doesn't have tags or any of that, because it literally says in Nevada statute that you have to be contracted under the law for it to affect you.
Yep.
And they let him go, which is crazy. That one, yeah. That was like that hour video, right? And it was nuts. And the funniest part was that he went through this whole back and forth where he's lying. And crazy enough, I remember you saying that you talked about the idea that under the law, driving is a legal term where it's commerce.
Right.
And I had never seen that anywhere else. And then he literally brought it up as well.
Yeah.
And he was correct in saying that. The cop kept saying your vehicle. And he's like, it's not a vehicle, sir.
It's a motor vehicle.
Or it's a, oh no, he said it's not a, what did he say? It's a mode of transportation.
Yeah.
And it, you know, goes on through the whole thing back and forth about how he doesn't have to apply to these laws, that he doesn't have to show his license because he's not registered with the state of Nevada.
Yeah.
And they essentially let him go, which is crazy. He was breaking like 10 different laws. And the funny part was the guy sitting next to him, once they start to drive away, remember, he was like, well, I'll be goddamn.
Yeah.
Ready for him to get arrested the entire time, you know?
Yeah. That's why you have to start with Black's Law Dictionary. Get your state local transportation code, and then the federal transportation code, and just start cross-referencing. You'll find why they don't apply to any of us. None of us. And the driver's license is intended for federal employees.
Interesting. Yeah, at the end of the day, you need to start understanding the law. You know, take time to understand how these things apply to you, what your rights are in any given situation. Because that's really how you control these situations. I mean, if you don't know your rights, I mean, it's been demonstrated time and time again that these officers will abuse the situation. And plenty of people think that that's right for them to do that. Like, assume you're casting that moral light on these cops, and we're assuming that they're doing what they're doing for the good of the people.
Right.
Then they're, oh, well, he lied about that, but the guy was a criminal. Right. So it's like people justify
it. But that's okay.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's not at the end of the day. And not everyone's criminals that these people lie to. They're trying to basically plant information on people and manipulate the system. And it's, you know, that's how you control that situation, is knowing your rights and what you are required to do under the law.
Yeah.
It's a powerful thing, people. But, you know, really, if we get to a point in this country where, sadly, I think we're very close to, if we get to the point of kind of shift to complete kind of totalitarian idealism, is that
papers.
We would no longer have
papers,
any rights.
Please.
Right. They could just completely do what they want anyway.
Yeah.
And that's scary because that's, you know, but that's why we're on this show speaking out. That's why you need to go out there and speak out. That's why you need to spread this information to people, because the more we collect as an entity, as the American people, the less we can get. We will get the closer we'll stay to our original ideals at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, it really comes back to the idea of just, you know, that true freedom, you know, like we're talking about, like having the right to do what you choose with your own body and your family. And that's right now, that's not what we're seeing. Well, I would say that that's a pretty good tie-up for this show.
Yeah.
And I really advocate for all of you to go out there and do your own research and look into the, you know, the Orlando shooting and different things. Just anything that's to do with the government. Don't take the official narrative. You know, it doesn't mean they're lying, but it means that you should make your own decisions and research for yourself. Very important in this day and age of lies and misdirection.
So we got on for this Sunday. I was going to say next week's show, but you know, that's this.
Oh, that's
Sunday.
Right. Yeah, it's coming right up, huh?
Father's Day.
Yeah,
right?
This coming up show, we are going to have a Jaslyn Myers back on again from Sierra. She is going to be discussing. She's actually very well versed in like natural childbirth and holistic medicine. So this show is going to be generally about just alternative medicine and kind of government control. So tune in this coming Sunday at 3 p.m. And you know what's funny, before we go, the one thing we didn't talk about today?
What?
Is the fact that this show didn't air on this last Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
For one important reason.
Because we were hacked.
Yay! For everyone listening out there,
somebody hacked Third Eye Radio and put a specific virus that basically stopped it from broadcasting live, which is pretty obvious. I mean, there's, it's, you know, so at the end of the day, there's somebody out there that just simply didn't want you to hear what we have to say.
I think it was a warning shot, like a shot over the bow.
Pretty much. But we're not going to stop. We're out there spreading truth for you out there listening. So support us, tune in, call in, make sure you spread the word.
Yeah, if you want to call in, it's 916-633-1393. Or tweet at Third Eye Radio. And of course, TLA Viagabond.
Viagabond. And always, follow the change, be the change.
Manipulation. It's been going on that long. They have strontium, they have barium. It's acidifying water, it's acidifying the land. The ability to generate precipitation, fog, storms on Earth, to modify space weather, and the production of artificial weather, all are part of an integrated set of military technology.
The spray chemicals in nanoparticle form. The government is using